Now, back to the Steve Gerber Show on MTN.
Probably the most consequential news week since Donald Trump took office, and that's saying something, isn't it? The Singapore summit tomorrow, you have the Michael Horowitz Inspector General report to be released. We don't know what it's going to say about James Comey and Loretta Lynch, but some leaks indicate it could be rough on those two and others. We'll keep a close eye on that. Plus, primaries having fast and furiously here all over the country. Joining me now, Ronna McDaniel, the Republican National Committee Chair, also from Michigan. Ronna, welcome back.
Always good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. All right, so first let's start with Korea. What I saw the president sign, in my estimation, is a letter of intent, which is kind of a, I guess that would make sense for a guy who's done a lot of real estate, and he has a twinkle in his eye when he talks about real estate in North Korea and the beaches and so forth. That's kind of an aside, but you've got a framework, a letter of intent. And in my experience in business, that means here's what we've agreed to. We'll be working now going forward to create a more comprehensive contract to fill in the blanks on this letter of intent. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, and it's important that people understand that the president has said we are going to trust Kim Jong-un, but we are going to verify. We are not going to stop our sanctions. We are not going to take that pressure off of North Korea until we can verify that they are actually denuclearizing North Korea, and I think this is what we all want. The president's trying to broker peace. He's done it through strength, through letting North Korea know that we are not going to blink and we are not going to accept anything less than full denuclearization. But I think what we saw with this summit is a step in the right direction and something that's historic that's never been done with an American president meeting with a North Korean president.
Yeah, I think it was historic. I think it was important. And I think that it's something different that has not been tried by any other American president, certainly not since the Korean War, obviously. And so I think it's a step forward. And the critics, though, you know, 6 months ago were, oh, my God, Donald Trump's going to take us to world war, and he's horrible. Donald Trump's going to sit down with Kim Jong-un. Well, that's terrible. I mean, really? I mean, you can't do anything.
Yeah, he can't win. I mean, the Obama administration used a strategy of strategic patience. They said, we'll just wait everything out. They use this around the world. And the president, President Trump, used a maximum pressure strategy. And he let North Korea know that we are not going to tolerate them becoming a nuclear power and threatening the United States of America and other countries around the globe. And we have seen which strategy works. And this is good for our country. It's good for our world. It was a huge threat to us. And this is exactly what we would want to happen, because, of course, we don't want this to escalate and get into a situation where we're in a war.
Yeah, absolutely true. All right, so we're going to watch that as it develops over the next few days, weeks, and months as that moves forward. We'll see where that goes. Primary night again last night here in the United States, places like South Carolina. And Trump's numbers nationally continue to improve, to tick up. His approval number is now at 45%, the aggregate for Real Clear Politics, which is good news. He's the only president in the second year of his presidency to watch this steady climb in popularity. But I want to ask you, Ronna, about Mark Sanford, dumped in South Carolina, the former governor who had the fling with a woman in Argentina and so forth, dumped by a relative newcomer, Katie Arrington, big upset. But Donald Trump went out and said, you know, Mark Sanford's bad news. And Mark Sanford was the governor, then he got elected to Congress, and now he's out altogether for pretty much a political upstart, Katie Arrington. That shows the president has strength in places as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And the president has made it very clear, I'm going to get involved in primaries to make sure that I'm bringing people to Washington who are actually going to be advocates and partners in the Trump agenda. And Mark Sanford obviously has some very choice words for the president, has not been a key player. The president said, I'm going to get involved. And boy, he put his thumb on the scale and made a difference. The party, the RNC, stays neutral in these contests. We feel like that's an important thing so that we can bring people together after these divisive primaries. But the president has every right get involved and bring people to Washington who are going to help him accomplish the goals he set out.
Ronna Romney here, the RNC chair on the Steve Gerber Show. I also want to point out Corey Stewart. He's kind of a Trump firebrand. One in Virginia. He's going to take on Tim Kaine for that Senate seat. Of course, Tim Kaine, Hillary Clinton's running mate in 2016. Corey Stewart, he's all in on Trump, and he wins handily the GOP nomination there to take on Tim Kaine. Again, to me, And of course, you're not picking sides on the Republican, but to me, it looks like, once again, it shows the strength of the president in some of these statewide races around the country.
Well, I have said all along that the most enthusiastic voters in the Republican Party are the Trump voters. And many of them actually aren't Republicans. Some of them are Democrats. In Michigan, there's Democrats and union members and independents that that make up this Trump coalition. And they are engaged. They are fueling the record RNC fundraising. And they are going to get out and vote for candidates who are going to help this president be successful. They've already seen great results with this president, with record unemployment, with 3 million jobs coming in, with ISIS on the run, all the things that are being accomplished. A president who cares about fair trade, who cares about American workers, those are things that resonate. And so you're seeing that play out in some of these races where Trump-supporting candidates are winning.
I think you're right, Ron. And you look at the whole notion of a blue wave, which, by the way, is evaporating. I don't see a blue wave happening at all. In fact, if I was a betting man today, I would say the Republicans will pick up 4 to 6 seats in the United States Senate, and it's even money. I mean, they might win a couple or lose a few in the House, but it's not going to be 63 seats like Barack Obama lost in his first mid-year or midterm election. And I say that because I look at races like what's going on in Florida. Governor Rick Scott, his popularity in the high 50s, taking on a three-term senator looking for his fourth, Bill Nelson. And the Democrats are nervous looking at that race because Rick Scott is popular, he's working hard, and he's got good money to back him up. And I would say right now, Rick Scott would be the guy I think is going to pull that race out.
Yeah, Rick Scott's a great candidate. He is pulling ahead of Bill Nelson. And we're seeing that across the country. Kevin Cramer last night got the nomination in North Dakota. He is doing very well against Heidi Heitkamp. You've got Josh Hawley in Missouri against Claire McCaskill. You've got Mike Braun in Indiana against Joe Donnelly. Candidate after candidate that have been put up on the Senate side that can take those seats. And, of course, Michigan, we're not going to leave Michigan out.
No.
We're going to select our candidate in August. And I think we've got an opportunity to send Debbie Stabenow home, who has done nothing but obstruct the president's agenda, an agenda that's really good for Michigan. It's good for cars. It's good for manufacturing. It's good for workers in Michigan. And Debbie Stabenow has done everything she could to stand in the president's way of success.
Yeah, you couldn't be more right. Ron Romney here. Obviously, Michigan, one of the later primaries on the 7th of August this year. So a lot of the folks will already be into their races before we get settled. But you look at the people that are running for governor on the Democratic side, each and every one of them calling for higher taxes to start their campaigns. And to me, I'm like, look at what the president did. He lowered taxes. The economy's doing great. Unemployment at 3.8%. 14 states, the lowest ever. The economy's moving. We've got ISIS on the run. We're making progress with North Korea. I think you stand a pretty good chance heading into the midterms. Rana, I'll give you the last word.
Well, I agree. And this is a pivotal time for Michigan. I love Michigan. I still live in Michigan. And I remember what it was like in the dark ages of Jennifer Granholm. Oof. When taxes were high and businesses were fleeing our state.
Yeah.
And it was scary. It was personal. We all had friends losing jobs and leaving our state. So there's a lot at stake in Michigan in this election, and we do not want to turn back the clock. It's important to reelect a Republican that's going to keep the economy going and keep Michigan growing and doing great things like it's doing right now.
Ronna McDaniel, thank you. As always, great having you here. And I'm so glad you still live in Michigan. You still know where you came from, and we appreciate that so much, Ronna.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.
Thank you. There you have it. Ronna McDaniel here on the Steve Gruber Show. Quick break. We'll be right back.